All right, so it looks like, Kyle, this has been a hot topic the last couple of days in a program. These people that won't pull their cars off the street, what the city of Fargo is going to do. It looks like Public Works Director Ben Dow wants a $150 fine. He's going to join us today at 2:35.
I saw that.
I don't know if I want the fine or if I'd rather have people towed because I'm just an ass. I think having your car towed is going to make it even more of a pain and is going to get people to wake up and go, okay, I don't want to deal with that again. Anyway.
I don't know. The nice thing about it is, though, if you just get the ticket on your vehicle, you still got to shovel your vehicle up.
Well, you have little Johnny come over at the business I came up with yesterday. Hey, I'm Johnny and this is Joey and we shovel all cars for $30.
So if you're looking for, to be an ass, that would be probably better than getting towing.
I like the towing because you got to go through all the headache now going to get in your car. Whatever the towing fees are, if you can't get it the first day, got to wait the second day. It's going to cost you even more. A little inside information, invest in towing companies. They're going to be busy around here. All right, anyway, so Ben Dow joins us. I know Dom Izzo on Hot Mic hit it this morning. And NDSU Bison football playoff attendance, there's tons of tickets out there. So we're going to talk about that. Why you think people are not going to these playoff games? I mean, I already know what the answer is. So we'll get into that. And it looks like there's yet more United States Postal Service problems in the area. West Fargo neighborhood is complaining that they are not getting their mail. Matter of fact, packages have been found laying in the street. So we're going to and we'll open this up so you're not out of the conversation. We'll talk about mail in the entire region. And then Fargo Police Department is going to be in here at 4:30. Matter of fact, they're going to break the news on this program. It looks like Fargo Police Department is going to be on a national television show, and I think the show runs for like 10 weeks. So we'll give you details about 4:35 this afternoon. All right, joining me in the program, 1,000-mile-an-hour Sue Barron, Golda Drive Kids Homeless. How the heck are you doing, Sue?
It's a busy time. Busy, getting ready for this Christmas event in this awesome sock drive. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank the community for doing this. I mean,
it's always about the community. It's always been about the people. And this sock drive with the law enforcement, there's just not words to express.
And I think there was some confusion there. We do this next year. I'm going to do it a little differently. A lot of people would reach out to me and go, well, can we donate socks or is it just a law enforcement thing? No, it wasn't just a law enforcement thing. If you don't know what's going on, I had Sue Barron in here, Golda Drive Kids Homeless. She started this thing a few years back, and it's just exploded. And she does her annual Christmas event. So I had her in here, and I brought up the question to Sue. I said, is it true that the most requested item in homeless shelters are socks? And you said, yes, it is. And I said, well, how are you guys at Golden Drive sitting on socks? And you said, well, we really are not. I said, well, let's fix that. So I reached out to my listeners and said, look, can you find in your heart when you're out and about shopping, pick up a pair, two pair, however many pair of new socks you want, drop them off here at the WDAY studios, and let's see if we can get socks to take care of the homeless folks out there. And then what I did was I did a shout out to law enforcement. I challenged law enforcement in the region. And the reason I did that was because law enforcement, they deal with the homeless folks on a daily basis. They know what they're going through. So we did a shout out to law enforcement, and law enforcement came through like you can't believe. I believe the first one to call us, Kyle, was Otter Tail County Sheriff's Department. Immediately called, said, we're in on this thing. We want in on it. And then next thing you know, Richland County Sheriff's Department is calling us. And then we get a call from Cass County Sheriff's Department, the Fargo Police Department, Morehead Police Department, Dilworth Police Department reach out to us. I believe Barnes County reached out to us as well. Trail County reach. I might have mentioned them already. Anyway, it was just nonstop. A law enforcement agency say, hey, we want in on this. We want to help out on this. And boy, did they come through. You listeners of the Jay Thomas Show at 970 WDAY, you came through huge. I mean, absolutely big time. But again, this was an effort amongst listeners of this program, listeners of this radio station, the community, and a big thank you to law enforcement agencies who stepped in on this. So the goal was, I figured, if we can get like 1,000 pair of socks, that would be a nice chunk of socks. Now, Sue, I know you were out in the green room and saw the amount of socks that are out there.
Unbelievable.
Now, hold on. Let me give you here. You might as well take this because
I'm already set.
All right. Well, here, give your husband some because the waterworks are going to start now. Now, we have not, I believe Otter Tail is dropping their socks they collected off tomorrow.
Yeah, Barry from the sheriff's.
Barry's awesome.
Yeah, he'll be here tomorrow late morning with theirs. And
okay.
You'll have a number.
And then we still, I believe there's some other agencies out there we still have not received socks from. I know you brought in Dilworth Police Department. You went and picked theirs up.
Yes.
And, all right, Sue, so do you want to know how many pairs of socks and listeners out there, what you did, the community did, law enforcement did?
I would love to know how many children here are going to be touched in our community.
But here's the thing. It's not, I mean, Golden Drive Kids Homeless, it's about the kids.
Always.
Okay. But in this case, it's not just kids. It's adults as well. We have socks for both from ages. When I'm going through that, we have socks in there from like newborn right. all the way up to adults for both men, women, boys, girls. We have tube socks. We have summer ankle socks. There are dress socks. So if somebody's going out on an interview and just needs a good,
exactly.
you have that. There are wool socks. There are probably a couple hundred, if not more, pair of top of the line. Those big boxes stacked up.
Yeah.
Those are top of the. Here we go. Those are top of the line. The best Nike makes socks in there.
Yeah.
The good, nice cotton socks.
I know they're all. It's top quality out there. And, this is not just.
And those were brought in from the Cass County Sheriff's Department along. And by the way, not that we're keeping tabs or anything. But my God, did the Cass County Sheriff's Department come through. Holy cow. But they all did. Fargo yes. PD knocked it out of the park. Dilworth knocked it out of the park. Richland County, not only did Richland County Sheriff's Department down there bring in socks, they brought in handmade quilt blankets.
Oh, man. Wow.
We're going through the socks. People dropped off brand new onesies for babies. There are gloves in there, new winter gloves in there. There are hats in there. It is crazy what this community did. And I started this on November 14th, and it is now December the 5th. So this was done in a matter of a couple weeks. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. All right, so Sue, here's how many pairs of socks. You're going to make me cry now.
Okay, I won't look at you.
Would you stop? Good Lord. You can turn Steve's mic on, too. Her husband, Steve Barron, is here, too. He's a captain with the West Fargo Fire Department, and he really helps out with a Golden Drive. So, oh, by the way, Steve, you see, today I'm not wearing fire stuff.
About time.
I got the police department stuff on today. All right, Sue Barron.
Okay.
And again, these are not just for kids. This is for everybody. So anybody in homeless shelters are going to be taking care of. Kids, teenagers,
it.
Adults, men, women, children, boys, girls. As of right now, the pairs of socks out there, 4,000.
Oh, 4,000?
Oh, there's more than that.
Whoa.
You're going to make me cry.
Jay can't count any higher.
Give me one of those Kleenex. Good God. Would you stop?
It's outstanding.
You're killing me. 4,268 pairs of socks have been donated by the community through law enforcement, through this show, through this radio station. 4,286 pairs of socks. And we probably, I'm guessing probably, I don't know how many more pair are going to come in the next day or two, but we should be close to 5,000 pair of socks.
Holy cow. 2 weeks. What a community.
Yeah, so.
Starts off with you, Jay. When we were on this program, it started with you, and it just extended right out to all the law enforcement, yep. and they are hands-on with our homeless. And I'm telling you, with this community, what they can do. And once again, almost 5,000. You will have a whole total of the socks. Because the others that come in tomorrow, so we'll get the whole count, and I'll make sure you got the community and you know the complete total tomorrow when they all got brought
now,
in here.
Now I got to say thank you to Brenda Ackerman. She works over the front desk. I had her come down to the office, Brenda. And count socks. I said, "Hey, Brenda, what are you doing? I need a favor. What do you need? I need you to come into my overheated, really hot office and sit here for 2 hours and count pairs of socks." And she did.
Yeah, I talked to her on the way in.
So thank you to Brenda.
Thanks, Brenda.
I also want to do a couple shout outs. Again, I don't want to single anybody out because
no.
whether you brought one pair or 50 pair, it doesn't matter. You helped out. And again, the homeless are going to get their most requested item, and that is socks. But I got to tell you, her mom is Melissa. She came in here this morning and dropped off the socks that her daughter collected. Her daughter is 13 years old, goes to the Lake Park High School. Her daughter, in a matter of just, I think like a week, maybe it was a little bit longer. Her daughter, Ava Faring, all right? Ava Faring, because her mom reached out to me, I don't know when it was, last week or maybe the week before, and said, hey, Jay, my daughter wants to get in on this. I said, well, just have her collect. Here's what we're looking for. So Melissa Faring, Ava's mom, dropped off the socks that Ava Faring collected through the Lake Park High School, her and her friends. She collected.
Thank you, Ava.
821 pair.
What?
Yeah.
Awesome for a high school to get involved 13, like that.
13 years old, and she collected 821 pair of socks.
Wow. We'll have some coming in later, too. Rhonda, West Fargo with Cops for Kids.
Oh, okay. Give your wife the Kleenex again, because Otter Tail County Sheriff's Department just messaged me. Oh, my God. You keep a total in there? Hold on. Let me write this down. Let me do the math on this. All right. So Otter Tail County are going to bring in the socks tomorrow.
Right.
All right. Right now we have 4,268 pair of socks. When Otter Tail drops their socks off tomorrow, we will then have 5,768. They have 1,500 pair of socks they're dropping off tomorrow.
1,500?
1,500.
Whoa, Otter Tail County. Thank you. Give them a
shot.
Yeah. We'll be here tomorrow to meet them. Thank you. You just have no idea how many kids you're going to be helping, and they will have multiple socks, these kids, instead of the one pair that has the hole in it or the anklets that they wear in the winter.
Yep. There's like I said, there's tube socks, there's anklets, there's dress socks, there's wool socks in there. Listener, and I usually don't read the text messages. I don't do this anymore, so... if you text message me on this program, it's a 50-50 chance I'm going to read it, but I'm going to read this just because there are a-holes like this out in the world. And how many pair of socks did the almighty radio host Jay Thomas buy?
Wow.
Really? You want to go down that road? How many did you donate? Jay Thomas, he took care of the homeless, all right?
Yeah.
Good God.
You do so and much for our homeless.
And don't listen to my program anymore, all right? I don't want you around. All right, so, after Otter Tail brings them in, 5,768 socks, plus we're waiting for more, so we should hit the 6,000 mark.
Holy cow.
Does that work for you?
Whoa, thank you. This is golden. Thank you very much to every single person out there that took the time to get socks and to donate them. Thank you so much. You are helping so many kids, and you know how cold our winters are. Thank you so much. And Steve, thank you. Thank you for all the help, helping loading these things today.
Yeah, Steve, you got
thanks,
a lot
honey.
Of socks.
I told you I was bringing a trailer, Jay.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought one.
I just, the law enforcement, too, I just can't say enough. I cannot say enough. And I'm hoping this will turn into an annual thing, Jay.
Yeah, we could do it annual. You bet we'll do it annual.
I would love
it. So let me ask you something. With this many socks, I mean, how long will this last?
Well, that's hard to...
I mean, is it enough?
They will be...
Because I know there's summer socks, there's winter socks.
Right, that's just it. But I will tell you, they all will be distributed to our shelters right here. They will be. And then as far as, I don't know, inside, you know, what, mm-hmm. how... So I really don't know how long, but, you know, how often do we need socks is kind of how we look at it. Because a lot of these kids out there right now, they are wearing... Honestly, their socks are holy. Because really, that's something that people don't even think about until they're... You got holes in them here. We'll donate. I've had that, by the way.
What's that?
Here's a bag of socks.
Oh, sure.
And you
can't do that. It's not, hey, appreciate it, but it's the going through the cleaning and all that. It's just so time consuming.
And you never, ever want to give a homeless child, anyone homeless, something that you know, that's basically garbage. It's something you would throw away. Yeah. That just makes them feel worse, you know? So it's better off to have actually, don't do that, period.
Yeah, well, it's one thing if you're doing jackets, because the jackets go through a dry cleaner.
Right, but like holy socks.
You got holy socks and stuff, yeah, definitely.
And stained clothing and ripped, and that's just a lot of extra work, too, to go through. But we'll do it. We'll do it for the kids. And these socks, this is the biggest sock drive that I can even think of that you have spearheaded in this community. Kyle, can you, 5,000, Kyle, are you like picking up
it's
what Jay's
number.
Throwing down
That's
here?
A lot.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be 6,000.
Yeah. We'll hit 6,000 for sure.
And I'll be reaching out to the shelters here. Tomorrow's Friday. We'll get a total. Monday, I'll start reaching out. I've already started, but I will reach out to all of them and confirm a date and time when we are going to bring them. I'm thinking it's going to be Monday or Tuesday. They should go down the road and be distributed.
Fantastic.
And then we are using definitely some of them for also at the Christmas, too,
yeah,
to make sure those families also, because not every homeless family is sheltered, you know.
No, that's right. Yeah, they may be staying with somebody else or, yeah,
exactly,
crashing on a couch somewhere.
There's a lot of couch hopping and doubled up. Yes, yeah.
All right.
So I just don't even have the words to express the gratitude for everybody that has helped, everyone that goes out of their way, even just to spread the word, awareness is key. Thank you for helping these kids. Jay, I'm just shaking over here.
Yeah, don't even thank the community for doing this.
Yeah, I am, but it started right here. I'm just starting with you, but I understand, and there isn't nothing I wouldn't do to pay it back, do what I
you
can
pay it
to
back.
Also.
You pay it back every day with your organization, Golden Drive Kids Homeless. And again, I want to stress too, Golden Drive Kids Homeless, for the kids, but in this case, the socks, this is for adults too. So adults are going to be taken care of, mom and dad's going to be I mean, everybody's going to be taken care of that need and want socks that are homeless. So that's all taken care of. All right, before I let you go, it's 2:23. Let's talk about the event coming up December 13th, because I'll be out there again, sitting outside in front of the Central West Fargo Fire Station right on First there. And, no matter how cold it is, last year's the first year we did it. I said, somebody fired, I said, grab me a boot, man. Let's throw a boot on a table, see if we can raise some money. We raised, over $1,500.
I'll have your table for you.
You'll have my table out there for me?
I'll be right alongside you all day.
And it was amazing because there was a Bison playoff game that Friday.
Yeah.
And it was really close to Christmas. So while everybody's out, either they're at the game or they're on their way out of town for Christmas. And man, people just came by left and right.
They were flying in both sides of the street.
This community is fantastic.
You know, the greatest thing to see even about the sock thing is all the kids involved in it too.
Yeah,
kids helping kids.
There's nothing better than kids helping kids. I agree 100%. And at our event, speaking of kids helping kids, we're gonna have a little 11-year-old or 12-year-old playing guitar. We're gonna have Santa. We're gonna have a couple elves. We're gonna have a free book table. We will have out in the Bay Area where you can go help yourself. We'll have volunteers out there to escort them to get free clothing, whatnot, what we have. We're setting up now. We're in the middle of it.
Now, people keep asking me, messaging me, emailing me on the event on Friday the 13th. Can people stop in there and make donations?
This is exactly, yes. It is totally 100% open to everyone.
Okay.
We ask you to, you know, come in. It's a great photo op, which keeps the awareness going. You know, with Santa, we have a couple great elves, all kids from the community, fire trucks, fire hats. These are great photos. We'll have hot apple cider and goodies. And it's just going to be festive. But then down the road, when you're looking at these pictures and where was this? Boom. Homeless awareness, kids.
There you go.
There it is. There's the awareness.
Again, thank you to everybody that dropped socks off here at the radio station. Thank you to law enforcement that went out and took up the challenge on us. Thank you to people that stopped at your local law enforcement agency and dropped off socks. And the whole thing kicked off. And I don't know who it was, but when we kicked off this whole thing on the 14th, that next morning, there was an entire case of tube socks from Costco sitting here. I don't know who did that, but thank you. I mean, an entire case of tube socks.
Tube socks.
But
I mean,
thank you to everybody. And the email comes in. Jay, we live in an area full of angels. Way to go, everyone.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Yeah,
and Jesse, thank you.
Jesse, Chief Todd.
Chief Todd. Ty out in Dill. Thank you,
Ridgeland
all.
Ridgeland County. I mean, it all.
Barry over at Otter Tail. I apologize. It's just there's so many. All of you, thank you.
Morehead PD.
Oh, Morehead, Fargo PD, Castleton.
Yeah, they all hauled in a ton of socks. And again, thank you. So
and we'll really roll this out in a way next year
after Otter Tail drops theirs off tomorrow. They're dropping off about 1,500 pairs of socks. We will be at 5,768 pairs of socks for the homeless. All right.
Amen.
Thank
you all very much. Thanks, Jay. This community, law enforcement, and stay golden. Thank you.
Great job, Sue. Thank you, Steve. All right, we're gonna take a break. News, weather, and then we're going to talk to the mean old Ben Dow, who just wants to put a damper on everybody's winter. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. We're going to talk to him next on the Jay Thomas Show. Kyle, I'd say we got it done, but it wasn't you and I, buddy. It was the community and law enforcement that came through, pal.
They sure did.
Man, they got her done for us, that's for sure.
We just have the Watts.
The what?
Said we just have the Watts, oh, the and Watts. Then the people oh, bring okay. in the socks.
Okay. Somebody messaged me and said, now the kings of the dock puppets. So for some reason, evidently we've never had snow or a snowstorm in our region. I guess this one that happened over the weekend was the first time we've ever gotten snow. My God, let's see. Kyle, what do we have? We were prisoners in our own homes. That's, I'm putting that on a t-shirt. That's classic.
That's the new Peloton ad.
Stop it. You're just not going to let that go, you millennial, are you? Let's see. What was the other one? It's too dangerous for my kids to go to school because the streets are sloppy.
Years previous, that was never a problem, but
now it's a problem. Of course, in my time, it was uphill both ways, barefoot in the wintertime.
Like 12 miles each way? What?
24 for us.
That's right.
It was 24 miles up on the Iron Range. I just shake my head and go, come on, man, really? Part of the problem, or a big part of the problem, when it comes to the streets not getting cleaned, people will not get their vehicles off the street, which makes it impossible for whether you're in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, out in Dilworth, Detroit, like whatever city you're in. It's impossible to get the streets cleaned up when you have the road crews, they've got to maneuver around cars. So Mr. Dow decided, you know what? Maybe we need to really sit down and take a look at how we handle people that just feel like their cars need to be on the street during a storm or after a storm. You know, maybe we should be looking at a $150 fine. Joining us on the program, there he is, the man, Public Works Director, the guy that rocks, Ben Dow. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, not too bad. Thanks for having me, Jay.
You got it, brother. Boy, how has it been for you and your guys and gals the last, maybe 4, 5, 6 days? How's it been?
Well, you know, we've gotten beat up a little bit. Our staff has worked pretty hard. We've done some astonishing things on the overnight, hauled the entire downtown in basically 2 nights. You're talking 750, almost 800 truckloads of snow all in 2 nights. We're trying to do the best service we can on that end. You know, this storm this weekend, it just went on and on and on. And so when people got up Sunday morning, it was sunny and beautiful, but a lot of them didn't know it snowed till almost 5:30 in the morning. We've been fighting it all night. So, of course, we'd like to have the town all plowed out, everything taken care of, but timing is everything, and it all depends on when it stops snowing.
Well, I believe your crew, we're talking Fargo now, folks, your crew, I believe your crew started at like 10 o'clock Saturday morning.
Actually, we were in prepping roads and getting everything ready because we weren't sure when the snow was going to come in, so we actually started Friday night. Our crews were in overnight Friday night in preparation because we didn't know when it was going to start. Then it started snowing at about 8 a.m. Saturday morning, so they came in at 7. We did a crew switch. The day crew came in, and we started them at 7 a.m., and as soon as we had enough accumulation on the road to start hindering traffic, we were plowing by 10 a.m.
And you were going around the clock. I believe, would you have your entire crew? What is it, a crew 25 out there? Am I correct?
So on Saturday, we had actually 30. We got some folks from our water department, our forestry division, to give us a hand, and same thing on Sunday. And then we ran at about 21 to 22 at night. I got a couple guys out on workman's comp and two on FMLA. So that really hinders how many we can have during the overnight.
Sure. If you have any questions for Ben, 293-9000 is the phone number. Ben Dow, Public Works Director, City of Fargo. Try to figure out, okay, what do we do to get our job done and get it done in the quickest manner possible, the safest manner possible. And again, I don't know where this attitude of where people think that this should be done in like 12 hours. It should just be done. It should be like we had no snow. I don't get this. We live in North Dakota, Minnesota. For the love of God, I don't understand where this comes from.
This was a real event, too. 10 inches is nothing to, you know, shake a stick at. And this was real, and it was heavy, and it was hard pushing. And, you know, our operators did a dang good job in my mind. They pushed, you know, all night. It was very slippery underneath. I can't say enough about my team out there. You know, yes, it's their job, but they always give up time with their families
yeah.
to do this stuff. And, you know, they work 7 to 3:30 all summer. But it is their job. We understand that, and they accept that. But, man, they work hard.
All right, let me grab a couple calls here, Ben. Let's go to let's grab Roy first. Roy in Fargo, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show. Fargo Public Works Director Ben Dow, he's ready for you.
Well, Ben, you guys might have to cut me off. This is one of my pet peeves, but I'm just saying you guys do a tremendous job. I'm of the opinion that there should be a snow emergency called when the snow is going to be this deep. I live on West Country Club Drive in South Fargo near apartments, and for the most part, they feel entitled to park on the street, and when your plows have to stop and go around them and then put a ridge up around them, they will come out and then find someone to push their car out, and some other tenant will come by and go right in the same spot and get stuck.
Yep.
And they all, I don't know, when they were, they must have been at the end of the line when brains were passed out, but I'm telling you, I have really become frustrated with the level of intelligence of people. When there's a snow emergency, I think the city should say, pull your cars off the street. If they're there, you ticket them and they're towed. And not no $5 ticket. A $50 ticket will wake people up.
Well,
turn a lot of people off.
Roy, I'm going to be able to see the smile on your face through the magic of radio because Ben is proposing a $150 fine. How's that make you feel?
I will help him as much as he needs. I will help him. I will be on the
So that's exactly what we're doing, Roy.
You know, whatever it takes.
Roy, we're working on that right now. We're taking anything over 4 inches. The mayor has the authority is what we're working on as if we can get this new ordinance pushed through to say, hey, snow emergency, all the cars off until your street's plowed.
Yeah,
your guys were down my street 3 times. And they took off layer after layer, and they did a fantastic job. But the damn cars were in the way all the time.
Yep.
And I just don't get it. I just don't get it. So I've said my piece. I'm getting off the air.
Thanks, Roy. Appreciate the phone call on 2939000 Public Works Director Ben Dow. Hang on, callers, before I grab you. And this is the Matt Henson story. After 3 years of studying the issue in communities, mostly in Minnesota, Ben wants to pass an ordinance to give the mayor the option to ban street parking across the city if a storm is expected to drop 4 or more inches of snow. You're quoted in the story, East Grand Forks, if they get 2 inches of snow and they call a snow emergency, you have to get your cars off. It's a $300 fine and a misdemeanor up in East Grand Forks. They're not messing around, Ben.
No, and I've visited with our commissioners on this, and we don't want to go there.
I mean,
that's a little more extreme than we want to be. You know, we want to educate people. We want to, you know, not hinder them in a way that it's going to impact them long term, but hit them in their pocketbook a little bit and say, okay, it's time. We need it. We're a big city now. We need to make some changes. We need to move forward and treat this stuff a little differently. You know, this slows our operation down by hours.
Yeah.
If you're thinking travel speeds and every time they got to slow down. And when I was visiting with Matt, one of the biggest things happens is we bump cars because these cars, especially last winter, because they were so close together and we're trying to get through. And then all of a sudden that takes about 3 hours out of an operator's schedule because at that point we have to do a police report.
Yep.
And then we have to go and do a drug test. And then after all that, we can get them back in a plow. So that can take 2 to 3 hours of, guess what, that plow is out of commission.
Let me grab some more calls here. Ben Dow, Fargo. And look, this isn't just a Fargo issue. This happens in West Fargo. It's happening in Moorhead. It's happening in Grand Forks. It's happening all over the place. And something needs to be done. All right, John, you're coming up. I got to grab Steve and then Dan. Steve, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show with Ben Dow.
Hi. Say, I think I know a little bit about that West Country Club. I've lived in the area and I've worked in the area. And I think that the apartment managers in that area are telling those residents, if they want the parking lot clean, they have to park out on the street.
Oh.
And I think it's a no-win situation for the people without a garage.
Well, Ben, have you heard this before? I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, I worked in that business years ago, and You know, I wouldn't be surprised to say, hey, get your car. If you want the lots clean, get your car on the street. Well, then the cars are on the street. The city can't see clean the street. If that's the case, Ben, is there anything the city could do or you know, when it comes to building owners, apartment complex owners, if they're telling their tenants to do this?
Well, you know, that's the first I've heard of that. It does make some sense, I guess.
Yep.
And when you're thinking about it. But, you know, streets come first in our mind, and our traveling public safety is the most important thing of what we have to stress. And if it turns into, hey, our apartment building people are telling us to get out on the street, you know, well, which would you rather have? Would you rather park in the parking lot in your apartment building or take the $150 fine? I mean, that's we're to that point. It's got to come down to that. Yeah. I hate to be that way,
I'm just asking you guys to kind of, you know, keep that in mind, because there's some people that just are running out of choices, you know, in a situation like that. So,
hey, Steve, anyway, thank you. Thanks for the heads up on that,
Steve.
Let's see. Dan in Fargo, you're next on the Jay Thomas Show.
Hi. I wonder if part of the problem is a zoning problem, that apartments aren't required. The footprint is small enough so that they're not required to put out additional space for parking.
Yeah, kind of.
I wonder if that's part of the deal.
Kind of like commercial. Yeah, if you build a commercial building, you have to have so many parking spaces available, depending on the square footage of that commercial building. That might be something. You may be onto that, Dan. Ben, that might be something that needs to be looked at too, as these new buildings go up.
We have visited with our planning department about that, and actually, we're going through a land development code for zoning and stuff like that right now. And they're doing it. We have a consultant on board reevaluating all that for the city of Fargo right now. So, and that's being taken into perspective of what challenges we're facing. You know, I think they build the apartments, they build them right for, you know, what they're thinking a family might be living there, where there's two cars. But a lot of times there's three people sharing an apartment and three people have vehicles, and there's always only two spots available that comes with an apartment building or one. And so a lot of that is what we're seeing is, you know, everybody has a car. You know, we live in Fargo, North Dakota. It's cold. You're going to have a car. You know, that's some of the problems we're facing, is sometimes there's just not enough parking spots for the amount of tenants that are in the apartment buildings.
Dan, appreciate the phone call. John, hang on. Can you hang on, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Here's what we'll do. We gotta do a break. We're gonna do some news there. Otherwise ABC will be upset, and so will the listeners. We're going to hang up, and then we'll call you back so you can get some stuff done, and we'll call you back. And then when we come back, John has been waiting on the line, and we'll get to John. He'll be first on the phones when we come back. So, Ben, we'll call you back here in about just a few minutes, dude.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Ben. All right, John, hang on. I promise you'll be first on the phones. Fargo Public Works Director Ben Dow, if you have a question, comment for Ben. Look, city's had it, and I got to tell you, you're going to see Fargo, Moorhead, other communities, Grand Forks, you know, whatever your community is, if this is a problem in your community, people are not getting their vehicles off the streets so the crews can clean up, you're going to see cities going down this road. Ben wants a $150 fine, and I know the city's going to go for it. All right, more Ben Dow. Your calls come back. Jay Thomas. Hey, real quick, if you're looking for something to do on an evening and you want to help out Golden Drive, kids homeless, go out to 1068 Parkway Lane. That's out in Eagle Run. And Jen and her family have been doing this for years now. They have an unbelievable Christmas display. It's so big, I believe they also now use the neighbor's yard, folks. But you can go out there and you can tune in on the radio dial, and the music goes to the lights, and they have a donation box out there, and you drop off some donations, and that goes to the Golden Drive. All right, Ben Dow, Fargo Public Works Director. All right, buddy. Let me grab John. You want to lock Ben in there so we don't lose him? Kyle, thanks, pal. All right, let me grab John here. John, you're up on the Jay Thomas Show.
Well, I hope you can hear me all right, Jay.
Yeah.
Just a heads up for everybody when you get off work. I'm out south of Fargo, and we're just starting to get a little bit of blow ice on the interstate and on the east-west road. So
Just kind of be
aware of it. You know, I don't have a complaint about the way they take care of the streets, except for maybe that Lee Anderson guy who can't plow my alley 20 minutes after the last snowflake.
And John will be out there with a ruler measuring.
I'm just kidding. Because I could see him taking the grader and pushing my Suburban up somewhere.
Do it, Lee.
It's coming to you now, John. It's coming to you now.
He's coming with a vengeance. No, I'll tell you, Ben, you did hit on an important point, and I think that's I left you a voicemail today.
Uh-oh.
And No. He hit on a good point. When it comes to some of these apartment dwellers, I know city code says that you're supposed to have so much parking per resident, but when you talk about, they're providing enough for two and three are living in a building, I'm wondering if city codes needs to enforce things a little better there, too. I mean, everything is all part of a larger dynamic on this situation. And Ben, I'm just glad that you're moving this thing forward, and let's hope maybe it does something, because as a commercial driver, when I have to deliver dot crap that people order off the internet, I'm going to tell you, Jay, last year, when those streets are 10 feet wide and the truck is 10 feet wide, Houston, we got a problem.
Oh, the dot crap.
Hey, that's what I lovingly call it, buddy, because I got to deal with it in all weather, man.
Oh, man, that is fun. Well, another thing, too, if you get up in North Fargo, and I don't know if there's really anything, Ben, and listeners, John, that the city can do about this, but you get up in these, especially around the NDSU campus, a lot of these single family homes have been turned into multi family homes for the college students, whatever. So now, where you would have had one family living in this home, now it's been turned into like three apartments. Now you got,
Exactly, Jay, and that's been one of my gripes. You know that for how many years now, because that is where some of these problems develop. Is what you have is you have a house that was designed for a family with two people and two kids, and all of a sudden you've got six kids living in it with six cars.
Yeah, yep, exactly. That doesn't add that doesn't help the problem.
Keep up the good work, man. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call. 293-9000. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show with Fargo Public Works Director Ben Dow.
My truck isn't 10 feet wide like John's is, but it's 8.5 anyway. I got a question, and I tuned in a little late, and I know you started at 2:00, so I apologize.
Damn it, Mark.
I work for a company downtown, have for many years, and we're pulling 53-foot trailers in and out of there all hours of the day and night. This is, between 10th Street and University, a little north of Maine. And the streets get so damn narrow, and it gets to be where we can't, we're limited to how we can get in and out of there anyway with that equipment. There's signs. Now, this year, that new apartment building, I forget what they call it, it's the Lime or something like that, they went down to parking on one side of the street, and that helped. But the next block north is still parking on both sides, and we've had one storm, and you barely get the truck down there.
Yeah, it's
now, here's my question. There's signs on that street that what would it be, 11th Street, that say no parking from 2 a.m. to whatever, certain days of the week. And there'll be no cars there, but the street never gets widened. So it's bad enough that you guys have to deal with cars that are in your way, but for 6-8 weeks at a time, there'll be not one car, but nobody will widen the street. What can we do about that?
So here's what I'll say about that. So generally, we do our widening at night. That's when we have the resources available to do that. During the daytime, we're out blowing areas back with our employees and stuff like that. So we don't go in there and do a lot of widening. And I'll tell you the truth, my staff has gotten pretty nervous about saying, let's go widen, because verbally we just get beat up so bad by any residents that have driveways or anything like that, that it's really a hardship for us. We basically have to look at it. Hey, if we're going to do this, we got to commit to almost cleaning driveways and stuff like that, because it is amazing how verbally bad we get beat up.
Wow.
I could tell you what to tell them. But, here's the deal. There, on this particular street, I'm talking 11th Street between 4th and 5th Avenue North. There's no residences there. Like the Cooper House and them people don't drive a lot. And that food pantry. And on the other side of the street, there's nothing. So maybe you could prioritize some of these things.
Usually, usually we try and haul that at night is when that area. That's considered part of our downtown. And so, like, next week we'll be hauling that at night.
Well, I hope. Can I call you if it doesn't get done?
You can absolutely call me anytime.
Yeah, call him anytime. Mark.
But here's the deal. One last thing, Jake, quickly. NDSU's got a lot of properties downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And all these students fill up all the parking on all those side streets and, you know, during the day. So it really gets to be an issue for us when the streets get narrow. So I appreciate anything you can do, you know, in that neighborhood downtown to, I mean, I know everybody wants their stuff taken care of, but if you could look after that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. We'll take care of that. We'll take a look at it. You know, one thing and I'm glad you noticed, that was one of the things we did do after last winter is we put on that on 11th and 12th Street by the old Woodrow Wilson and stuff like that. We did look, and that's how we came about saying, hey, we can only allow parking on one side here. And you're absolutely right.
Ben, if you would, go one more block.
Oh, here.
Between 4th and 5th with those signs would be great.
Mark, appreciate the phone call. Let's go. I got a lot of emails to get to. All right, Ben, let's go through. So you did 3 years of studying the issue that Fargo's having, the other communities were having, and how they handled it. If Fargo goes with a $150 fine, how is this going to work, Ben?
So we're going to work in conjunction with our police department. We have community service officers that can assist us during the day. And then as we move in and work with our contractor that does our parking right now, enforcement downtown, we will be reaching out to them and looking at using them as a resource to add extra bodies out there in the enforcement practice when this comes up. You know, the stats really, when you look at this, and Matt did an excellent job last night on the news, a typical winter, you know, we only see over 4 inches of snow in a single snowstorm 2 to 3 times a year.
Correct.
You know, last year was 5. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement built around this, and we're really happy that people are coming out and talking about it because that's what we want.
Yeah.
But you know, I think we got to just work our way through this, and it's not the end of the world. It's not as bad as people think. It's just something we got to do. I mean, in the end, this saves taxpayers money because the longer it takes us to plow, the more fuel we burn, the more overtime and time we pay. You know, that's what it comes down to. This is something we're looking to try and help us out, save taxpayer money, and be more efficient.
Now, okay, let's walk through the process. I know you'd like to have this, if the commission approves this, everything goes as planned, you'd like to have this new ordinance in place sometime coming up in January. Okay, John Wheeler, Storm Tracker Weather Chief Meteorologist. Hey, we got 4 inches of snow coming. Looks like it's going to be happening tomorrow or in 2 days. How does it work? What does the city do? You guys hear the forecast? What happens?
Well, you know, it'll have to play into the storm when it's taking place because you don't want to announce it before the first snowflake is falling.
Sure.
And so, you know, we're always doing our arterial routes first. And to do the arterial snow emergency routes in Fargo, it takes 8 hours.
Okay.
So as we start those and as this storm builds in and we see wind and it looks like it's going to turn into a blizzard and we got major snow on the ground already, we're going to really fight this thing out. After we're into it, that's when we'll be working with the mayor, city administrator, to make that decision. Okay, is it time to use this tool that we have in our toolbox and make an announcement? We want to give the public plenty of time to react. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we don't want to announce it before we're done, you know, have it go in effect before we're done with our arterials, of course. But we want it close because we go into the residentials. You could be the first one on the block that we hit. You could have to be off that street for an hour.
Okay. Okay. Now, next question. $150 fine, if that's what the city decides. Where will that money go?
It goes right into the general fund.
I don't like that. I don't think it should go to the general fund. I honestly think it should go back into, honestly, Ben, I think it should go into the public works budget. I really do.
I love the way you think, Jay, but, it, you know, revenue coming in from all kinds of sources goes into the general fund. And that's how we, you know, reduce the cost to our property owners and the taxpayers is by, you know, sometimes IT gets some of those funds, sometimes PD gets some of those funds, sometimes the fire department gets some of the funds. And I agree with you. I'd love to see it come back into you know, our budget. We could add operators, we could add some equipment, but you know, it goes around our, what goes around comes around in our organization, and that's just the way it works.
All right, let me grab a bunch of these emails here. First one, I live in South Fargo and they do an amazing job cleaning the streets. The only problem is people parking on the streets and not moving their cars. Keep up the great work, Ben and crew. It sounds like the issue for Fargo and other cities, because other cities have ordinances now in place, it's just these cars that will not get out of the way, that will not move. Let's see another one. Jay, I keep hearing off the street, are the avenues excluded so drivers can park on the avenue until you can move to the street after the snow equipment goes through?
You know, that's a great question. It's a total clearing. You got to get out streets, avenues, everything clear.
Yeah,
get them off. We're coming through.
All right, another one. All the people complaining about cars on the street can open your mind. I blew out my cars that were parked on the street. I moved the cars and then blew out entire street in front of my house. I blew everything onto my yard. Then I parked cars back on street. 5 hours later, plow came by and plowed snow from a side street around my cars and into my driveway. It is not black and white. I understand the city has a job to do, but in my case, I did it for them. I would like to propose a $150 fine to the city for showing up too late. It's not black and white. Well, the city can only get there so fast. And I mean, if you guys are on a street and there's cars all over the place, that's slowing you down to get to another street. It's just the way it is. If you want your streets plowed, there's going to be some snow blowing and more shoveling you're going to have to do. I mean, you know, I shovel my snow, blow my driveway, plow comes by, runs a ridge. I know, well, I got to get out there and clean the ridge up. That's just part of living in this part of the country where sometimes we get a ton of snow. That's just life.
You know, it does take, you know, 10 inches of snow is real.
Yeah.
It took us about 15 to 17 hours to get everything cleaned up starting from Sunday morning. That's real. I'm not going to, you know, that took us longer than I would like. But in the reality of it, with the resources we have, that's what we can do it in. And when it comes down to it, we can add more people. We can build up for the big storms. We can do all that. But that's just added cost, and that's going to, the money has to come from someplace.
Ben, another email, this one's kind of long, but I'm going to read it anyway. I get the frustration that everybody has with the streets not getting cleared. I do have a concern about declaring emergencies and not allowing anyone to park on the streets. There are a lot of neighborhoods, especially in the older parts of town, that have a very dense population with a lot of vehicles. Some of them only can park on the street. They don't have a garage or an off-street parking. I think it is a similar situation to the gentleman that called in about the apartments. I don't think that people feel entitled to park on the street when they are by apartment buildings. That is probably the only place they can park because they have no garage space or parking lot around that apartment building. I proposed idea would be to expand on the calendar parking that is in some of those neighborhoods. A lot of them do not allow parking on one side of the street between November and April. Expand that and have no parking on avenues on even days of the month and streets on odd days of the month. This will allow people the opportunity to move their cars every other day, and the street plowing can be focused on certain areas without having vehicles in the way. No matter what anybody does, it's a complicated problem for everyone. Good luck to all our metro area crews this winter. Grateful for your service. Your calendar parking, I've brought that up on the city of West Fargo where I live. I wish to God we had calendar parking. But even if you did calendar parking, I got to believe, Ben, you know, that's still, you guys are going to be stretched out for days, because if it's like, okay, odd days you're on this side, even days you're on this side, that's still going to, okay, well, we got to wait now till the other to get, I don't see that making the job any quicker.
Well, it doesn't. And what it does is it makes you have to go back a second time.
Yeah.
And when you have to go back a second time, if you can plow everything the first time, that's your most cost-effective and time-effective thing, time to do it. Now, if you have to go back a second time, guess what? You're just covering all those miles again.
Yep.
You're paying all those dollars for salaries again. You're paying all that fuel again and all the wear and tear on equipment. So I agree. That does work, too. And we are looking at making some changes to our parking and expanding our one parking side only. But, again, when we're cleaning up the initial snow, our goal is
safe, get it done as safely and quickly as possible, and be, you know, cost effective.
Here's another one from a listener in Wahpeton, and they said, hey, guys, this works really good for us in Wahpeton. Here's their snow removal ordinance. Wahpeton states there is no parking on any streets or avenues between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. These winter parking restrictions are put in effect based on the winter's beginning snowfall and are in effect until spring, depending on the weather. When a snow removal ordinance is put into effect, notices are posted on cable TV, local radio stations, and in local newspapers, and the signs are posted at all major entrances into the city of Wahpeton. Well, that's basically kind of what would happen here, right? I mean, the media would be notified to notify the public that, hey, look, this is happening.
Yeah, it's exactly what's taking place. The only difference is it's from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. That means you have 4 hours to clear your residentials. Fargo has 500 miles of residential streets, and right now we have 24 operators on each of our crews. So we have 24 pieces of equipment. You know, if you do the math, we have 15 zones in those 500 miles. It's going to take 10 hours to 12 hours with the manpower and the equipment we have right now. It, you know, that just comes down to the same thing again. More people, more equipment, if that's the direction that the city wants to go.
Well, the city's growing. I know you asked for, what was it, 7 folks? You got 2, and I understand there's budgets and everything, but, you know, the city's really, you know, they've really got to look at expanding departments, you know, and that's not just public works. That's police, fire, everything. We are growing fast. Quick heads up from a listener out there. I-94, folks, west of Fargo, getting pretty slick in spots. So watch it if you're out there. Let's see. Who's this here? Let me see. Dave, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show with Ben Dow. Go ahead.
Hey, listen real quick, and maybe you guys have touched on this, and maybe I'm just shooting for the moon here, but two things real quickly. Somewhere in here, there has to be some type of app that could be developed and shown what areas are covered and what areas are next. That's number one.
Oh, good.
Number two, maybe possibly we could come up with a posting of a start time. I'm way down here on 52nd. And let's say your plowing start time was 8 p.m. Well, in my area, somehow I would get to be educated that I am 9 hours from the start time. So if you posted a plow start time of 8 p.m., I've got 9 hours after that. I'm thinking you guys are coming through around 5 a.m. if you catch my drift. If there's some way to announce a plow start time plus add on your hours to when they commonly get to you, that might help. I have no idea, but I just thought I'd throw that out.
No, that's a good idea, Dave.
Great idea, you, Dave. And one thing we're doing right now, we put AVL in our vehicles 10 years ago, and it's time computers, that the mini computers that are in there, they need to be updated. And as part of that, signing a new contract, hopefully in the next at the next commission here, to upgrade our system, which will allow us to have the plow tracker program out there for people to look at. The one thing we do is we don't always plow everything the same way, because we don't want the same people being last all the time. So our folks, we try and plow it, start with this neighborhood first one time, the next time they start with the other neighborhood, so they work their way backwards. And that's just something, you know, you don't want to be the last on the list every time.
Yeah.
So we try and even it out and make it fair.
I knew this one was going to come up, Ben. Jay, the plows do a great job in Fargo. They have to cover a lot of area with a limited time. Snow gates have been a hot topic before, Jay. They slow down the plows that have been rejected by Fargo Department, but would the city be able to just have a couple of them to try out and maybe use only them when widening the streets and not on the initial snow clearing when it slows them down? It really isn't the initial ridge over the driveways that are bothersome. It's the ridges that come after the driveways. And initial street cleaning is done that gets people riled up, and maybe they could initially use the plow gates just in neighborhoods. We've been down this road. These plow gates are not as good as people think they are. They are expensive. Matter of fact, I don't even think they would work on a majority of the vehicles the city of Fargo has, correct, Ben?
That's correct. You can't put them on a wing, and so we would have to ditch all our wings, which we are doing a study right now. We're in the final draft form. I'll have that here probably by the end of next month. Or the end of this month in December here.
Okay.
And then we're going to propose that to commission. And it takes a look at vehicle maintenance, the fuel, to everything to add gates to our program. So we that is wrapping up right now with the consultant, and we're going to bring that forward. And that's going to have the real price, of the price tag of adding them. And that, again, we're not against gates. It's just going to require, you can't just add them to what we have now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a significant change to do that and a significant cost.
That kind of answers this next email that came in from a listener. Ask Ben why they don't go to the city commission and ask for more equipment. You kind of just answered that.
You know, every budget we do include requests. That, you know, one thing we do focus on is City of Fargo is keeping costs low and trying to keep those tax dollars the same the way they are. And so our leaders are taxed with that, of making those decisions to try and keep things low. And you know, that's, we've asked, and it comes. It is coming. It's just, it's something we can't flip a switch. We grew really fast over the last 12 years,
yep.
And we can't flip a switch and backfill it as fast as we maybe need to.
Another email, I just don't believe it should ever, money should ever go to the general fund. Ben claims it will go into the general fund, but if the city gets free money added to the general fund, they are going to be like, hey, we got more money. What can we buy now? Look, I think that money should go to Public Works Department, but that's for another day. Goes on to say, as a listener up in Grand Forks, he says, Grand Forks goes around the week after and clean up where cars were parked during the storm. They have set street maintenance set for specific days of the week for certain areas. A week later, people are going to lose their minds. All right, hey, Ben, thanks for all the time this afternoon, and good luck, buddy.
Thanks, Jay. I always appreciate time, and we appreciate your listeners. And we have some great residents out there that do help us out, and that's great, too.
Oh, real quick, another one comes in. Might be too late for the conversation, but West Fargo has trackers on all their trucks, and you can see on the website where they are and where they're going. That's true. Does Fargo have that, or is Fargo looking at that? I forgot. West Fargo, they got those trackers.
With our updated AVL system that we're working on signing the contract, it's in legal review right now. That would provide us that option to do that. Now you got to remember, there's flaws with that too. It's technology, and so it's not always 100% accurate. But we are going down that road.
All right, brother. Hey, keep up the good work. I know it's a tough job, but you're the man to do it. And tell Lee same thing, and all your employees out there, keep doing what they're doing, man.
Yeah, they're doing great work. Thanks again, Jay.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. Fargo Public Works Director Ben Dow, Jay Thomas Show, another road report. Highway. Wow, what's going on out there? That wind must really be howling out there. Highway 10 eastbound from Dilworth to Lake Park. Scattered spots of blow ice, very slippery. Christopher, thanks for the heads up. And if you got a road report, please pass those along to us. As always, you're the eyes and ears out there. You're the ones that are seeing what's happening. So if you got a road report, please pass it on to us. This is the Jay Thomas Show. Okay. All right, we're good. Minnesota Vikings final score. No Lottie Dodd today. Minnesota Vikings final score. We'll do it right after the news at 4:05. Brought to you by Pub West. Doing it today because I am Gandhi tomorrow. Ray Kovalvog, yeah, will be filling in tomorrow. And Fargo Police Department will be in here about 4:35. Something very cool. They're going to be on national television, and they're going to announce the show and who's going to be on it, what the show's about. This is, I don't know, Kyle, if you know a little inside info on this, but this is very cool. It's a new show. This is going to be on...
I know nothing about this.
One of the big cable channels, and I think the show starts in January. So Fargo PD in here at 4:35. 293-9000, toll-free, 1-888-970-9329. We don't have time to get to the Dom Izzo hit it on Hot Mic this morning. The Bison and the tickets, and when it comes to playoff games, what do they have? 2,500 tickets available for Saturday's game, and Mike McFeely did a fantastic article. You check it out at Inforum. Just goes through the numbers and the years and attendance. What's my answer? Well, we can open this up if we'd like to. 293-9000, toll free 1-888-970-9329. Or you can email us talk@wday.com. My answer? I honestly just think, and this is nothing against Bison football. I mean, hold on, I'm trying to grab McFeely's story. It's nothing against Bison football. I'm a huge Bison fan. I got my flag out there flying on the pole when the Bison start playing. I'm there watching the games. But I got to tell you, I'm bored with it. I think there's a couple things that play a factor, and Oscar, we'll get you to second here. I think there's a couple things that play a factor in this. I think people are getting bored with the games. They're a blow. By halftime, the game's over.
You know what I think?
And I honestly think the fact that there's not beer sales in the Fargo Dome does not help.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
And but people, I heard Dom this morning say, well, look at the people out there tailgating. They're drinking. But Dom, a lot of those people do come into the game. A lot of those people just go home after tailgating, and a lot of people go to the game aren't out there tailgating, having a beer, right, would like to have a beer during the game or a wine. Okay, what's yours?
I think people are just saving their money to go to Frisco.
It's number three on my list, too.
Because I think people are just like, why would I go to the Fargo Dome where I can't drink a beer during the game? Yep. I can go and tailgate, but I'll go tailgate and go home.
A lot of people do.
You know, and go home and watch the game at home.
And there's number...
From the comfort of my home.
There's the next one on the list.
But then at the thing, why spend money on playoff tickets if you can just save that money and go to Frisco. Texas and go all out?
Yeah, you're right. You are 100% right. And I think the fact that the games, Kyle, and listeners are televised, like you said, like the playoffs. Hey, I can watch these at home. I can save my money. Because Dom went through it, too, the price. Tickets are, for a playoff game, I believe it was $31 for the end zone, $41 for the sides. Now, let's say you're bringing your family there. Let's say, like Dom said, you got a family of four. You're looking at $160.
Right.
Now you're going to grab food, something to eat, because you're going to eat there. If you're not out tailgating, you're going
to
eat.
That's your gas to Frisco.
You're looking at looking at a couple $100 to go watch a playoff game. And again, I honestly, like you said, people can watch it from the comfort of their home. Pretty much sure that it's going to be a blowout. The games are just blowouts.
Who wants to spend $300-$400 in a day when they know they're going to be, the game's going to be over in a quarter and a half?
Yeah, and that's nothing against the Bison. Bison are fantastic. These other teams need to kick it up a notch. But at the end of the day, I just think people are just, you know, hey, we know it's going to be a blowout by halftime. I got to load up. I'm going to go to the game. And this time of year, it's not like in the fall when the weather's decent. Do I want to go out in the cold weather? Do I want to go load the family up, spend a couple $100, watch a playoff game, like you said, where I can watch it from the comfort of my front room? And most people now have big screen TVs and surround systems and all that. It's almost like being at the game. And look, I could save my money for Frisco. I'm 100% with you. If you want to weigh in, 293-9000, although I think we hit it all. I really do. I think we've hit it all. And I do think beer sales not being available during a Bison football game, I think that does play a role in it.
I think it really does.
Oscar's in Glidden. You're up on the Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, they got open reservations here for parking in a ditch going west on 10 here from Glidden to Moore.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm hearing. I'm getting messages from listeners that the roads are not bad.
Eastbound here isn't quite as bad, but Western, it's just ground drifting, and it's sticking. You know, it's warm enough, it's just sticking to the roads.
Okay.
So.
All right. And again, that's out Glidden area. And I don't know why Oscar's laughing that the roads are bad. Boy, you're evil.
Well, I'm driving a big truck. Yeah, I get away with it.
All right. Oscar, before I let you go, why are so many seats available for the Bison playoff games?
Well, partly I think you're right. I mean, I'm usually on the road Saturday far enough where I got a friend in Fargo that keeps calling me because I can't pick you up after I get past Alex. But I mean, this thing with the Bison is just, I brag about it out here, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I mean, these guys have done what no other team. I mean, they've set a Guinness Book of World Records with five back-to-back championships.
Yeah.
No football team, professional, college, or high school has ever done it back-to-back, Jay. This is something that Fargo's going to carry on in NDSU for years.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what this.
But you're right. The prices, you know, are getting higher priced. But then, you know, the dome has cost money to run that too. So I don't know. But yet, the money they take in for these games, so you think they could have a little cheaper?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know, you're going to see a quality football team, you know, for $31, $30, $40. I mean, that's a damn good ticket price. But again, you're going, and it's like, by halftime, it's a blowout. I think people are going, well, why should I spend that money, like Kyle said, when I could sit home and watch it on the TV in the comfort of my home and not have to deal with the crowds and everything else and save my money for Frisco. And I do think.
Yeah, and it's getting to the point. I mean, we ought to give the opposing team about 40 points to start with.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are just, it's just so amazing.
It's
a lot of college teams. It's beyond their dreams.
Yeah. It's crazy what Bison football is doing and will continue to do. Oscar, appreciate the phone call. Be safe out there, my friend. Greg, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, I don't think money has a thing to do with it. What? I've got eight friends that have already snowbirds that have taken off for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
They're all season ticket holders. They're all team makers. But they're down in Arizona, and they're going to, I've talked to them, they're going to watch it on TV down there. But those 2,500 tickets came from the season ticket holders.
Yep.
And I got to believe that most of them are the snowbirds that are gone.
Wow, you think that may, well, now, hold on here, Greg. I've been trying to find my glasses here. Again, if McFeely did a really good article on this, because he went through the numbers, went through the years, and I'm trying to find it here. Damn it, where is it? When it comes to the season tickets, I can't find it right now. Looking through this thing, good Lord!
But those were the tickets that were set us. Those were the release of the season ticket holders.
Yeah, Matt Larson.
I had to have mine purchased, and I got them last week. But when they don't, they let them go after that.
Yeah, in McFeely's articles, Matt Larson. Larson said student ticket sales have declined steadily over the past 4 years in both the regular season and playoffs. NDSU last year reduced student seating by a section and sold those seats as season tickets. I think that's why you're starting to see that little gap up in the southwest corners, because those student numbers have declined. Well, that's interesting, though, too. Why are those student numbers declining?
Well, if you were a student, could you pay $41 for a seat?
Well, I don't think the students, and somebody can correct me because I don't know, but I don't believe the students pay the same prices as you know, they have.
I think because the NCAA runs these tournaments, not the Bison or anybody else, and the NCAA is looking for their cut on there. And I think those students do not get a break on tickets. If I was a student, I'd rather take $41 over to Chubb's Pub and
watch it
and have some fun.
Yeah, go tailgating, then head over to Chubb's and watch it.
Yeah,
no,
why even tailgate? Just go to Chubb's to begin with.
Yeah, there you go, Greg.
I think that's just that dollar amount down there, and students are tugging on finances and where it's coming from. And, you know, you take if they've got two or three dome games on there, that's $150
it is. It is, Greg.
By the time you get done with food.
Greg, I got to rock and roll. I'm out of time. Quick, Jay, I don't get it either on the attendance at Bison games. I have season tickets and usually miss a couple of games due to the harvest. In the past, I have had friends in Fargo. I would call and give them my tickets to use to fill the seats. Past 3 years, no one wants to use them. They would rather watch from home. I can't even give away to friends anymore. I see this year a gal has been getting tickets to veterans, so I'm going to start doing that from now on. All right, hey, Minnesota Viking final score. We're going to do that next. Get those phones lit up. All right, listen, this is so cool. And we're announcing it here on the Jay Thomas Show. Now, the word was out back in November, but there were no details being released. I remember when the story came out, I was on the phone to Jessica Schindeldecker, and I go, "Come on, Jess." She's like, "No, that ain't happening, Jay. We'll get a hold of you when we're able to release details." Well, Jessica reached out to me today and said, "Jay, you know what? We can go ahead and let the public know what's going on." All right, so there is a television show that is going to premiere on January 8th. That's a Wednesday night, 8 p.m. our time, Central Time. And the show is called America's Top Dog. And the show, there are four police K-9 units and a civilian team from across the country compete in three rounds of what they say is high-velocity furry competition. The show, again, is going to air on A&E Network. So it's going to be on a major cable network, which is very cool. Fargo Police announced this back on Thursday, November 21st, that one of its K-9 units will compete on the show. Now, the teams are tested on speed, agility, teamwork, by competing in a series of tasks on one of the biggest and toughest K-9 obstacle courses ever assembled, that was designed to mimic real-life challenges these dogs face every day on the job. And each week's winning team receives $10,000, plus an additional $5,000, which is cool, to donate to an animal charity. All of this leads up to a final that will bring the top competitors together to battle out for $25,000 cash prize and the title of America's top dog. And now we can tell you who locally was involved in that. And joining me in the studio is office Fargo police officer Dave Cochran. How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you doing, Dave?
A little busy over there, buddy?
Yeah, trying to keep my partner preoccupied.
I'm going to have you get right on that mic. You can move the mic wherever you want. If you want to move it, whatever, so you can do it while we're on the air. Nobody's going to hear you moving it.
Sure.
Keeping your Who's your partner in here, Dave?
So this is my partner, Canine Falco.
Oh, this dog is so badass.
he's full of energy, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's not a lap dog, that's for sure.
He tries to be sometimes.
Does he try to be? All right. So can you tell us about? What can you tell us about? I mean, this is number one. How did Fargo? How did you and Falco get picked to be on this national show? It's on A&E Network.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing opportunity, and to get asked nationally to audition for it was pretty cool. Yeah, the company that owns Police Are Live PD and Ninja Warrior decided that they wanted to capitalize on every time they showcased a dog on Live PD.
I love that show, Live PD.
Right. So, and who doesn't love dogs? So every time they showcased a dog on their show, their ratings went up exponentially. And they thought, well, we need to capitalize on this, right? And so why not bring a canine on to a Ninja Warrior style format show? So they contacted us last spring, asked us to try out.
Okay, let me ask you, why did they contact Fargo, North Dakota, Fargo Police Department, you and Falco?
Yeah, I don't know. My canine sergeant contacted me. He said, hey, they want you to audition for this show. And I thought he was just giving me some grief for trying to pull a fast one on me. And we did some research, and it seemed legit, and it was. And how they found us, I don't know. But we tried out. Audition for it. We had a couple auditions. They seemed to like him, and they asked him to be on the show.
God, Falco is just having a blast in here. And by the way, you'll see Falco and Dave on the news tonight. This dog is beautiful. What breed of dog is Falco?
So he's a Belgian Malinois.
My buddy Mark Dahlquist over at Throttle, he's got one of these things, and that dog, it didn't make it through dog school, so he adopted it, and that dog is constantly on the go.
Yeah, they're high drive, they're constantly moving. They're working dogs.
Over there.
And he doesn't slow down yet.
That's awesome. So now does he, because I know a lot of these police dogs come from overseas, Belgium, or wherever it might be. Yep. So when they're trained in a different language. So do you have to speak to Falco in a different language, or does he understand English?
You know, he has one command that's in Dutch, and that's los. That means to let go. So whenever I want his toy.
Wait a minute, hold on, because those West Fargo dogs, when Mom and I were in the police academy, they sure the hell didn't let go when that word was given to them. I think West Fargo was messing with me,
well,
man.
Those are German Shepherds, Jay.
Oh, are those Shepherds? Yeah. I thought one of those was one of these.
Nope, they got German Shepherds. Okay. So Malinois are a little more... They're a little smarter than the German Shepherd dog.
Oh, I know that the chief over there is listening right now. Oh, man. And I know exactly what he's saying. He's saying, Jay, get him back. Okay, Chief Yonke, I'll get him back. Hold on a second. Here you go, funny man. What's that say right there?
Yeah, I couldn't help notice that West Fargo PD there, Jay.
All right, so what can you tell us about the show? Because I know a lot of this stuff has to stay
under
wraps.
So we signed a million pages of non-disclosure and whatnot, but essentially it's a Ninja Warrior format, but it's both police canines. And it kind of, like you talked about, it kind of tests what we encounter from day to day or occasionally to some things we've never encountered before.
Okay.
So it really is a true test of how the dogs can perform. And
all right, let me do this. Let me take a quick break here, and if you have any questions, 293-9000, toll-free 1-888-970-9329. Fargo Police Officer Dave Cochran and his canine, Falco.
There he goes. There he goes. Oh, and there go my headphones and wires, and oh, crap. Yeah, take a break.
Anyway, they're going to be on, you're going to see them on America's Top Dog on the A&E Network, premieres at 8 p.m. our time, January 8th. More with David Falco when we come back, Jay Thomas Show. Good Lord, man. Well, I had to ask Officer Cochran a couple questions, and and then Falco bolted. Somebody just somebody emailed me. Falco bolted loose in the studio and came over to my side. Somebody emailed me, said, did he find your stash? Hold on.
How dare you?
Yeah, you're a funny guy, Scott. Another listener wants to know, this one's for you, Dave. I have a 12-year-old daughter whose dream job is to be a canine cop. How does she go about achieving that, Officer Cochran?
Well, first and foremost, get your education. We like to see a 2 to 4 year degree here at the Fargo Police Department. Get hired on with us or any agency and just show them that you're a hard worker and start putting in work. I was a chew toy for our canine unit for a while, just to show that my drive and desire to be a handler. Same thing for her. I mean, just start working with the dogs and showing your interest there. That's the first step.
Now Falco's with you all the time. You take Falco home, everything, right?
Absolutely, yep. He's part of the family.
When Falco came to the Fargo Police Department, I mean, are these dogs ready to go? I mean, I know that they're going to have to work with the officer they're with, but how much training have they had? I mean, how much work is it to get them up and rolling on the streets?
Right. So when I got Falco, he was almost a year to the day old, and he had a lot of training put into him. Then we finished the training with him. But the training is ongoing. I mean, mm-hmm. we train mandatory twice a month, and then every day there's something we do. I mean, a short sure. obedience session or whatnot. But it's like anything else. You get what you put into it.
Yep.
And you put a lot of work into it, you're going to have a good working dog.
All right, let's talk America's Top Dog. You and Falco are on the show. The show's already been filmed. We can say that.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. That's, you know, folks, that's how it works. When Rides is on, people call me, hey, can you? Or it's like, no, we filmed that a long time ago. Okay, so how tough was this? Because you're comparing this to American Ninja Warriors. Was the course that wicked for?
Yeah, it's very similar to the show, but it was fit around it. I mean, the dog competes in it and goes through obstacles as did I.
Okay.
So there's parts of it where it was strictly him, where he had to work through some obstacles, and then I had to follow suit with him. So
he's just going to town again. All right. How many weeks is the show?
I think it's they had said it was approximately 10 or 11 episodes.
Oh, it sounds about okay. Yeah. Yep. All right. So 10 weeks. Again, the show is America's Top Dog premiere episode. It's a brand new show. 8 p.m. Central Time, our time, Wednesday, January 8th. Four police canine units and a civilian team from across the country compete in 3 rounds of high-velocity furry competition, according to A&E. Teams are tested on speed, agility, and teamwork by competing in a series of tasks on one of what they say is the biggest and toughest. And you're saying this was toughest canine obstacle courses ever assembled that was designed to mimic real-life challenges that these dogs face every day at the job. And our very own Fargo police officer Dave Cochran and Falco are on this show. It's just amazing how many police departments there are in this country, how many canine, and Fargo gets called on this thing.
Right. That was pretty awesome. To be selected to be a canine handler to begin with, I mean, the stars have to line because, I mean, the dogs work 8, 9, 10, 12 years, right? Mm-hmm. So spots don't open up that often. And then to get asked to audition for this, I was told it was well over 1,000 applicants.
Really?
Were interviewed for the spot, and to get picked for that is
that's amazing, Dave. Amazing. That really is. Now I got to ask you: when Falco's at home, is Falco a regular dog? Can you play with him, pet him? Does he sleep with you guys? Does he go in the backyard and just have a good time, or is he just always ready to go?
Yeah. So what's unique about this breed is he's a working dog through and through. So he doesn't leave work at work. He brings work home, so there's always something he has to do.
Yeah.
I have to keep him occupied, or he'll find something to do. So it's hard for him to relax. It's hard for me to relax.
We got wait till you watch, because this is going to be on the news tonight, 6 and 10 on WDAY, and you're going to see Falco, our guys in here, our camera guy, has gotten some great shots. Did you get the one of Falco bolting over here looking for my stash? Ah, that's a damn shame. I don't keep my Miller High Life in here, just a cozy. All right. So when you were on the set doing this thing, and I know there's stuff you can't give away, but are we going to see watching this on A&E see moments where like, damn?
Yeah. To walk onto the set, I'm like, you want us to do what?
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, it was challenging. It was physically, mentally, but it was a blast too. I mean, what an awesome opportunity to did showcase our dog.
Well, and your prime time Wednesday nights 8 o'clock A&E Network.
Yes.
That is is that your ticket out of here, dude? That's what I thought about my show too. Forget it. No, you're stuck here, pal. You ain't going anywhere. That's very cool. Again, Wednesday, January 8th, the show debuts 8 o'clock our time. America's top dog, and so what? Four teams.
So yeah, four canine teams, and then one civilian.
Okay.
On each episode.
Okay. All right. I can't wait to watch. Of course, you can't tell us how it turned out.
No, I wish I could. But
I know. I know. You can sign a million, like you said, a million pieces of paper and give your left arm and
right.
Everything else when you're doing these shows. But this is so cool that Fargo. Now, do you rub this in on West Fargo, Moorhead, Cass County?
Any chance I get, absolutely.
I'm gonna tell you right now, rub hard, because Sheriff Johnner was in here today on the sock drive, and they annihilated everybody with the amount of socks they raised.
I heard. That's awesome.
And
awesome.
Well, wait, now, he made like a 5-minute video in my office just ripping you guys apart, man. I mean, just ripping you guys apart. Although I will say this, Chief Todd came back with some pretty good comebacks, but I'll leave those off the air. So rub it in as hard as you can, man, and be proud. That is so cool. Now, is there a chance that down the road that you guys get called back?
Yeah, so if you win your episode and or they dislike you,
mm-hmm.
And how you did, they'll ask you to come back for a second showing for the ultimate of the competition.
All right, now I'm gonna ask you, and maybe you can't say, but I gotta know, man. What did they think of Falco?
They liked him.
Did they?
Yeah. About all I can say.
That's all I can say. That's what I figured. Also in here with us, John Nasala, JK Property Partners. You know, John, I don't want you taking up the whole show this afternoon.
Yeah, no, Falco's in my spot.
Falco's in your spot. We got to get you in. Are you available next week? We'll get you back in here, buddy.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
JK Property Partners, if you need a home, call John. He'll take care of you at jkpropertypartners.com. All right, very cool, man. I can't wait to watch the show. And it's cool that they didn't do this cheesy. I mean, this is like American Ninja Warriors. This thing is the real deal.
The real deal, Jay.
That is so awesome. Hey, congratulations, Officer Dave Cochran, Fargo PD, and Crazy Falco. I thought our terriers, well, I refer to our dogs, their terriers as terrorists. But, oh, Falco, our dogs have... Falco puts our dogs to shame, man. This is... All right. He heard me. All right. Sorry, Falco. I didn't mean to offend you. All right, man. Folks, have a great weekend. I'm out of here. Ray Kvalvog, fill it in for me tomorrow. Again, the show debuts America's Top Dog, 8 p.m. our time, Wednesday, January 8th. Our very own Officer Fargo PD, Dave Cochran, and Falco on the show. Have a great weekend. Your news block. It's coming up next.